Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Through patient endurance, let us run the race that the Lord has set before us, lest we grow weary and faint in heart. The sacred writer to the Hebrews has cited many cases of strong faith in the Old Testament history, so much so that it's taken us two Sundays to read through his list. And yet even these are but a few of the shining examples of the vast multitude of witnesses that have testified to the worth of faith. These are written that wherever we turn, we may find encouragement in their examples. And just as the faithful of the Old Testament had pursued their course patiently and persistently till they reached their goal, may we also be found running forward, running toward the heavenly object of our faith. The course of one's faith, the course of one's life, one's faith race, if you will, must be run, and no one can run it for us. And it requires the strongest endurance. As an athlete trains for a race, so must we lay aside every encumbrance that interferes with faith. Our constant endeavor, therefore, must be that we daily renounce, shake off, and throw aside sin and its obstructing power. Christians are declared righteous before God through faith in Jesus. Did you know that you are righteous before God right now? Did you know that through faith in Jesus, God sees you as righteous right now? Good. Did you know that you're also a sinner? Psh, let the air out of that balloon right there. We don't have to go very far to realize that we're still sinners. Christian life is a long-distance race, and it demands staying on the path. Even St. Paul has written, "I fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." What does the race that is set before you look like? As you live your life trusting in Jesus, what does your faith race look like today? And what does it look like in the past? What have you endured thus far? And what might the final laps of your faith race hold in store? Our readings today warn true believers against the deception of false prophets. False prophets seduce many souls with messages that are not authorized by God, plain and simple. False prophets endorse outspoken enemies of God, saying, "It's okay, you'll still have peace." False prophets say to those who stubbornly disobey God, "No evil will befall you, just go on." But they lie. The Lord himself declared through Jeremiah, saying, "Who has stood in the counsel of the Lord when he made his plans? Who has stood in the counsel of the Lord when he has made his plans concerning the punishment of the wicked?" If a person has dreams or ideas, all well and good, but let them be known as such. One must not proclaim their own dreams and ideas as coming from the mouth of God. For what is straw to do with wheat? God's word alone is the grain of real substance. Bottom line, the Bible alone is the only source and norm by which all Christian teachings are to be measured. Like all human beings, Jesus' life on earth was a race. He describes his race as a fire, with the final leg of his earthly race finding its fulfillment at a cross. Jesus' faith race, his life, his death, his resurrection, he describes as a fire, a baptism, a dying of old self, a dying in humiliation, and a rising in glory. He would not rest until he finished his race. For only here do we receive newness of life, only through faith in Jesus. Did you know that Jesus died on a cross, and that he rose from the dead, and he did it for you? Only here do we find newness of life. And you do have newness of life. You're a new thing. Therefore, let us look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. He's the beginner, and he is the finisher of your faith race. Do you remember when your faith race began? Not everybody does. Some Christians would challenge you, would challenge us, saying that we need a testimony, that we need an aha moment of sorts so that we know and we can testify when our faith race began, the moment in time when you and I chose to give our lives to Christ. But this isn't accurate. This is false. It is God who calls believers to himself, straight up. Sinful mankind is dependent on God and his divine initiative, not human choice. Jesus himself said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit," John 15. For many of you, your faith race began at your baptism, even as an infant. That's a good thing. Don't let anybody take the joy of that from you. For some of us, however, our faith race began later through the hearing of the truth of the Bible before we had opportunity to come to the waters of baptism, before the record. God's mercy given in baptism is his intended beginning of every faith race. But he also knows that life is messy. So praise be to God that regardless of when and where your faith race began, every faith race finds its finish, its perfection, in the waiting arms of Jesus. The word fire in our readings today expresses an urgency, the urgency of God's call to repentance, the reality of his judgment, and his desire to forgive and restore. The word of God is a consuming fire, proclaiming the same message in our time as in ancient times, that persistent sinful behavior is not okay with him. To say to those who despise the word of God that it's okay, to say to them it'll go well with you, is a lie. That's why Jeremiah proclaimed, "Behold the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth." A whirling tempest. That's why Jesus said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished." He knew we would be lost without him. He knew we could not even enter the race without him. Story. Years ago, I rode bikes. I rode bikes a lot. I love to ride bikes, especially the downhills. The longer, the better. No energy put into it, the breeze in my face, the beautiful scenery going by, look how fast I'm going. Didn't care much for the uphills. But in my naivety, I entered a 100-mile race. I think the race was called the Sierra Century. They call it that because the race winds 100 miles through the Sierra Nevada foothills, up and down and all around, beautiful country. The race began at a school parking lot. The early stages of the race were easy, nice and flat. Everybody's smiling and happy, keeping up with one another. And then we began a long downhill, miles and miles into the neighboring county. Countryside, as I said, was beautiful. But the problem with going downhill for miles and miles is that eventually you've got to go back uphill. And during those long uphill grinds, though the scenery was still just as beautiful, I couldn't appreciate it. Most of the time, I didn't see it. When you're riding a bike and you're on a steep hill, you put your head down, you lean into it, and you start to grind, and all I could see was my front tire and the pavement just in front of me. Downhills were exciting and glorious. But during the uphill grinds, even though I was putting everything I had into it, I could tell that I was outclassed because it seemed that everybody passed me with ease. There's a polite thing that bike riders do when they're passing you to make sure that you don't swerve out into traffic and push them over. On your right. On your right. Very polite. I found myself as I tried to grind up that hill resenting those words. "You're not going to pass me." And I would step on it but I didn't go any faster. And they still passed me. And for some sick and strange reason I haven't figured out even to this day, the second half of that race was mostly uphill. There were some level, there were no downhills. Of course, we rode miles early downhill. And to top it all off, the final leg of that race was part of a road called Slug Gulch. I encourage you to look it up. The road was chosen for the last leg of the race, not because it was only 5.8 miles, but because in those 5.8 miles, that road rises 1,471 feet in elevation. I remember riding that road in preparation for the race and thinking to myself, how in the world am I going to ride this after riding for 90 miles? Well, I never found out because I never made it that far. My legs locked up at mile marker 72. And while that was the end of the race for me, I still arrived safely at the finish line. They have what's called sag wagons. The organizers of races have folks drive around with trucks and pickups and vans, and they will pick up stragglers, people who have big intentions but can't do it on their own. People like me. I was reminded of these things this week as I studied, as I read of Moses, as I read of Abraham, as I read of Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, Samuel, and many others. Just a few shining examples of the great cloud of witnesses whose faith race proclaimed, run or ride, run with endurance the race set before you. And as I heard St. Paul encourage us to look to Jesus, the beginner and the finisher of our faith, I was reminded of some special folks. Folks would come out to those race courses with the sole purpose of encouraging. These folks would set up their lawn chairs along the race course, especially on intersections where the race would make a turn onto a different road. They would set up their lawn chairs there, and they would just wait all day long so that they could encourage and so that they could point riders in the right direction, lest they get lost. Some handed out water and Gatorade. I was going so fast uphill that some would come and run alongside me and pat me on the back and say, keep going, you can do it. And then they would point me in the right direction, making sure I didn't get lost. Because as you look at the road, as you look at your tire, it's easy to lose track. One thing that I found in common with every one of them, the more tired and the more discouraged I became, the louder they shouted, you can do it! Keep on going! Jesus knew that the faith race of a Christian would be difficult. He knew that some along the way would give false hope, pointing toward the wrong direction, the easy route, the downhill route, the self-indulging route that destroys, the route that goes down. And down, and down. That's why Jesus came to cast fire on the earth and how he wished that it were already kindled. In his human nature, he looked toward his death on a cross with dread, the cross that loomed in the not too distant future. But in his divine nature, he anticipated with great joy the victory and the merciful glory that awaited humankind beyond the grave. Jesus longed for the beginning of the Messianic age. He longed to complete the things that would usher in the age of God's mercy. And we, being in the year 2022, the human race is roughly 2,022 years into the faith race of God's mercy. It began for us when Jesus died on a cross and he said, "It is finished." And it will end for us when we see him coming on the clouds. Ours is the time to seek God and his mercy while he may be found. So as you run your faith race, be encouraged. Keep on going. Throw off every weight that hinders, every sinful behavior that clings, and run. Run. Rejoice in the beautiful, glorious downhills, the times of rest, the time of beauty. And look to Jesus. And the times when you grind through those long uphills, when you're unable to appreciate the beauty around and you have no idea what the future holds in store, look to Jesus. May you be encouraged to endure with patience, knowing that you're not alone. I had you raise your hands earlier, but now I ask you, look around you. Look into the faces of your brothers and sisters in Christ, for those with whom you worship. This is the great cloud of witnesses whom God has given as encouragers for your faith race, to encourage you along the way. May you point one another in the right direction. And since you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, may you be encouraged in your faith race to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher and the perfecter of your faith. For it is He who, for the joy of knowing that He was saving you, died on a cross. So don't give up. Stay the course. Keep on going. For your race will soon finish. And when your race finishes, on that day, you will look upon the face of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.